And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to a very exciting edition of Health Essentials. You know, I was kind of daydreaming just a moment to myself, and I thought, okay, what are we talking about here? If we did not have the sun that was emitting this particle or wavelength of light that we know as sunshine, you know what I'm talking about. Someone could put a blindfold on you. They could take you from a dark room, and they could walk you into the out of doors. And you could feel the radiant energy coming in contact with your skin, and it would feel good. And you would feel that warmth, and you would understand without anybody explaining to you that light is essential to life. Could you imagine being Jeremiah, let down into a well, or a pit filled with mud? Pretty discouraging, huh? Being deprived of light would not be good. There's a very old therapy known as heliotherapy. The word helio refers to the sun. If you were to go to the store and buy a package of seeds for the plant or the flower called the sunflower, which they are very intriguing to me. If you plant them from the seed, you can watch them grow. And sometimes they take off and they grow a few inches every day. It's just amazing. But I think if you look at the name of the plant itself, you'll see it has the word helio. H-E-L-I-O. Helio. H-E-L-I-O. Heliotherapy is nothing new. It would be the use of the light that is emanated from the sun to heal an organ that is sick or is sluggish, is not working right. What if your kidneys on a lab test come back and they show that they're weaker than what they should be? They're not working at full capacity. Well, I know this is radical, but what about just going out and sunbathing your kidneys? No, you don't remove them from your body. But what you do is you expose the flank portion of your back to sunlight. What if you have diabetes? Well, what would happen if you exposed the skin over the abdomen and 3 inches beneath it? Actually, if you have diabetes, it might be 12 inches beneath it. But if you expose it to the radiant energy of the sun, what happens? Did you know that all life is made possible by a substance called chlorophyll? Chlorophyll is, as we think of it, it's going to be a colored pigment. Sometimes it's green. Sometimes when we're in the season of the year called fall going into winter, you can see those green leaves. As the green chlorophyll begins to die off, then you have the yellow or the orange or the red chlorophyll that remains behind. And of course, what I'm thinking of is a Bradford pear. Sometimes their leaves are spectacular, or maybe a red oak or another tree. Actually, that's a certain form of pleasure that you can only experience if you're outside. And so if you're driving down the road or traveling or walking in the woods, you may come across a tree that has brilliant orange. It's almost like the leaves are on fire. It's just amazing. So in this tiny compartment within the cells, you have this structure called a chloroplast. And that's where the chlorophyll comes from. Well, I was reading about salmon the other day, and it made me think of this. I thought to myself, how do salmon get this brilliant red color? Now, you tell me, do you think that you have enough skill to being able to determine whether the salmon is wild caught or if it's farm raised in a tank somewhere? Of course, in the large concrete pond or whatever they use to farm raise salmon, you just wonder, are they getting everything they need? Do they get the same nutrition as a salmon that's able to swim in the deep ocean blue? Well, you know the answer to that. Well, there is a very special carotenoid. It's called astaxanthin. It has this very deep, vibrant red color to it. It's actually a red xanthophyll. And it's found predominantly in the saltwater oceans, which the salinity of a saltwater ocean is identical to the salinity of the blood. That's just all by happenstance, isn't it? Well, no, it's not. Well, there's a form of saltwater algae that lives in the ocean, and it produces naturally this carotenoid, this very special carotenoid called astaxanthin. And because of this deep, vibrant red color, well, guess what happens? If a salmon is able to feast on this type of algae, which is its normal food, it gives it a red color. You know what else likes to eat this? Lobster likes to eat this. What do you think of when you think of the color of a lobster? Do you think of, white? No. You think of brown? I don't. Black? Not so much. Unless the black is just an extremely high concentration of red that gets darker and darker and darker. I think krill and shrimp. Have you ever heard of a shrimp called a ruby red? Well, why do you think they call it ruby red? Because of shrimp. They love to eat this algae that grows in the ocean. And this algae, in turn, is a source of this very special carotenoid called astaxanthin. And so when you go to the store and you're looking for something to eat, and you walk across the... by the way, I know you've heard this story, but I'll repeat it one more time. It was a Friday afternoon, and I'm going to just say 8 weeks ago. If I missed it by a week, who cares? But I walked into the large store here in Jacksonville. Begins with a W. You probably will not be able to guess. But when I walked in, the first row of freezers was as close to empty as I've ever seen before. And I thought, have they forgotten to stock it? And I found out real quick, no, that has nothing to do with it. It's because people were making a run on the groceries. And so in the first freezer section, which if I'm close to it, it's only because I'm going past it, or I'm after, lemons or limes or mangoes, something that's there that I want, but nothing in the freezer case, because in that first row of freezers, they have all the TV dinners and the frozen pizzas and the prepackaged foods, which all that requires is pressing a button on your stove to heat it up, called the oven. And so they were gone. That means everybody decided that's what they wanted. I said, this is bizarre. I even made a video of it, and I sent it to several people because I just couldn't believe that all the food in this one freezer section was gone. So I went to the next aisle. So in row number two, or in freezer row number two, it too was empty. But there was one box of sausage biscuits by Jimmy Dean that was on the shelf. I did not make a rash decision to buy them. But they were there, and that was it. In the third aisle, well, it was practically empty too, although you could find plenty of ice cream in that aisle. But most of the freezer cases were completely empty. Then I got over on aisle number four, and I thought, oh, finally, here's some food. And in this aisle, there were bags of frozen kale and Brussels sprouts. And I think they even had some cut-up sweet potatoes, and they had cut okra, which there are some people, you may not believe this, they like to saute okra and have it with eggs for breakfast. I think that's brilliant. But at the other end of the aisle, so this one freezer case was essentially full. It had all the broccoli you wanted, all the asparagus, cauliflower, mixed vegetables, had plenty of peas and beans, all in the frozen food section. And at the other end, they had salmon and red snapper, halibut, flounder. I even noticed they had bags of wild caught or harvested scallops, which I may be wasting your time by bringing that up, but they had lobster, and they had plenty of bags of shrimp. See, nobody was going after those things. And so if these cold water animals called a lobster or salmon or shrimp are going to survive, They've got to have this carotenoid that comes from algae. Well, did God give them this food? You bet he did. Well, one thing I didn't realize when I read about this, this carotenoid called astaxanthin, it actually prevents salmon from dying. Because when young salmon do not have it, they almost always die or they don't develop properly. Maybe they come out with two or three tails instead of one tail. I don't know. I just made that up. But this is critical for life. And you can only get this from a living organism. Isn't that interesting along the food chain that God's prepared for us, this very interesting algae, that if it's abundant and the salmon and the shrimp and the lobster can eat it, then, you know, the shrimp is going to provide food for a whale or another type of marine life form. But what I didn't realize was this astaxanthin that gives them this red pigment, there is a wavelength of light or a red spectrum of light that when these animals are deep enough in the ocean, it doesn't penetrate. So this red pigment, it makes them almost completely invisible to their predatory fish. Isn't that interesting? Well, in the real world, here's what I'm after. Whether it's fat-soluble chlorophyll, which is really the only form of chlorophyll that's essential to life, not the water-soluble kind, but astaxanthin has a very unique antioxidant property to it. And what it does is it prevents oxidative damage. That means it prevents your cells and your tissues from rusting. Does anybody out there listening want to age gracefully? Well, the answer is yes. That's a rhetorical question. Did you know that astaxanthin has been shown to help reverse insulin resistance and cardiovascular disease and neurodegenerative conditions such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's? Well, guess what? You get astaxanthin, a very special carotenoid, when you eat salmon. All I want you to do is just consider what you eat can either improve your health or what you eat is going to make you worse. Now, in the real world, I kind of got this morning by reading about King Jehoshaphat in the book of 2 Chronicles. And I thought to myself, you're doing one of two things every day of your life. Either you're moving toward and you're seeking God. Now, is there such a thing as just sitting on the fence and just being neutral and not really going one way or the other? I don't think there is. You're either moving toward God or you're moving away from Him. Well, health is the same way. Either you're moving toward improving your health or your longevity or the radiant health of your brain and your heart. Do you want to have a healthy, radiant, vibrant heart? Well, you got to move toward that. If you're not moving toward it, well, guess what? You're going downhill. It's either one or the other. And so last week, I started to tell a story, and I'm going to go ahead and finish it this morning since several people have called me expressing an interest in it. And I'm just going to tell you something here. And I didn't realize this, but throughout the world, apples are not the number one fruit that's eaten. I was kind of surprised by that. It's mangoes. And so depending on where you live, it may be that mangoes just grow in your backyard like an apple tree would grow if you lived in Michigan or in Illinois. And there's over 1,000 varieties. I couldn't name them all. All I can do is I could point them out, the ones that are in the produce section ready to be purchased. And that's all you have. You've got to go with what you have access to, right? There may be a rare variety that grows on the island of Irinjaya, but if you can't get to it, well, we can talk about it, but there's not much I can do about it. So most of the commercially available mangoes, though, are about the size of a large avocado. And I would say this could be an interesting proposition to you, because what if there was no junk food available in the house? Okay, what if you had a bowl that was filled with mangoes and the kids say, Dad, we're hungry. All right, take out the paring knife. I kind of like those knife blades that have a little curve to them, like a, what do you call it, a hawk's bill blade. Those are fabulous for this. So you wash the mango. Now me, I'm not into hand sanitizer. those of you that don't know me, I'm not using the stuff. If you want to use hand sanitizer, you may use it. I'm not judging you for it, but I'm not going to put alcohol and chemicals on my skin because I think that weakens my immune system. I realize there's a lot of smart people out there, far smarter than I am, that think they have got this figured out, and God bless them, that's great. But I just believe in regular soap and water. So it is so easy to walk into the grocery store and purchase hand soap that's just made of olive oil. That might be the original soap. You think olive oil is toxic? Well, I don't think so. I have no problem if I had a mango from the store and I want to wash it, just taking hand soap and washing it, rinsing it really well. Or if you really want to do a good job with this, you could always just take water and soak it with some white distilled vinegar. Vinegar is a remarkable cleaning agent. I know it doesn't smell like a million bucks, but then again, you're not walking through a field of jasmine something or something that smells really good. I tell you, I'm so I don't mind taking the trash out of my office. You know why I don't mind it? Because there's a large mimosa tree out back, and guess what? It is already producing mimosa blossoms. Which I always think the mimosa blossom looks identical to pictures of the hypothalamus. That is the master control gland of the body. Back to mangoes. Here's a story. Probably, I don't know, 15, 16 years ago, took the children to Splash Kingdom. I think it was in Garland. That would be a smaller water park, which that's fine by me if I avoid the large ones that just make you wait for an hour to go on the slide one time. I'd rather go to the smaller ones where you can, you know, wait 5 minutes in line before you know, just kids having more fun. Well, anyway, my daughter Jane, she's probably not listening, so I can just feel free to talk about this as much as I want. She had this thing with eating mangoes, and I want to say that she might have eaten as many as 8 mangoes before we got there. I noticed, you know, all the parents are rubbing sunscreen all over their kids and whatever chemicals you put to the skin to block out the ultraviolet radiation so your skin doesn't burn. I understand that. I mean, if you asked me, would I enjoy a third-degree burn of the skin? Well, no, I wouldn't. Nobody would. But that happens every day. But she ate mangoes, and she did not wear one or apply one drop of sunscreen or sunblock. Not one. She's the only one that didn't get burned. Okay? And you're probably asking me, well, what is in a mango that's actually beneficial? Well, just like salmon that have that rich red color when they come from, you know, the wild Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic, they're consuming the algae that contain the astaxanthin, which gives them that red color. Well, guess what mangoes have? Well, they have very high concentrations of carotenoids. And carotenoids, by their very nature, have a very strong antioxidant nutrient profile. And, of course, this goes without saying, but there's probably thousands of other phytochemicals that have a radically important role in the health of a human being's cells and glands and tissues and organs. Well, just because we don't know what all of them do and all they how they function, you can bet your bottom dollar that when you eat a mango, you're eating something that's real, that has nutrients that your body requires for health. Well, I came across this research conducted in the year 2002 by Dr. Sue Percival. She's an associate professor with the University of Florida's Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences, and she showed that mangoes can inhibit the formation and the growth of cancer cells. Well, interesting here. Well, Dr. Percival compared an organic extract containing mangoes carotenes to a water-soluble mango extract and their effectiveness against cancer formation. According to her findings, mango's water-soluble portion was about 10 times more effective in preventing cancer cells than its carotenes. Well, I thought that's interesting. So I just need you to think that there are different components or substances that are found in mangoes. Now, you already know what I'm going to tell you. When you get the whole mango, you get all of them. You get the carotenoids, the carotenes, the minerals, the vitamins, the nutrients, the phytochemicals. Here's another one right here. This to me is very interesting, and I want you to hear this, because you get to make a decision what you're going to do with your health and what you're going to eat. Who knows? You might go to the store today and buy a mango after hearing this. Human evidence also demonstrates that mangoes can help fight cancer. I know I mentioned that. This is just a different study. A diet analysis of 64 patients that had come down with gallbladder cancer or developed gallbladder cancer, and 101 patients with gallstones, they show conclusively that mango consumption was correlated with a 60% reduction in the risk of gallbladder cancer. This is the highest reduction in risk for this form of cancer found for any fruit or any vegetable. So if you consume mangoes, 60% reduction in the risk of gallbladder cancer. Now, I realize gallbladder cancer, probably a little bit unusual to hear about that. I mean, if somebody develops cancer, it's probably going to be something that's going to be more common. Breast, uterus, cervical cancer, squamous cell carcinoma, basal cell carcinoma, melanoma. In men, prostate cancer, lung cancer, you know, things like that, in which those are all bad. That's tragic. I don't want anybody I know developing cancer. But you need to remember that what you eat plays a very significant role whether you develop cancer or not. I'm not trying to make this into a panacea, be-all, end-all conversation, but just an idea. But to me, this is very intriguing. If you're prone to gallbladder problems or gallstones, well, maybe that's the angle that I'm going on this. If you know that your gallbladder is already a bit problematic, and it may be giving you some symptoms, like you're just overly bloated after you eat, and you're constantly burping and belching, and you grind your teeth at night, and you've got these little bitty pimples and bumps all over your shoulders and the back of your arms and your triceps, if it gets severe enough, if the gallbladder becomes dirty enough and dysfunctional, you get the bumps on the top of your quadriceps. That's the top of your thigh. Now get this right here. It says the mango may also offer some protection against infections. And I need you to pay attention to this. This tells us, what if we eat a substance and it provides us natural elements that help our immune system function better? That's what I want you to think of. The Department of Epidemiology and International Health at the University of Alabama conducted a 4-month study of 176 Gambian children. Those who received dried mango, this wasn't fresh mango, it was probably put in a dehydrator, and it was just dried mango, they were found to have higher blood levels of retinol, which would be a form of vitamin A, than those that were given a placebo. I don't know what the placebo was. Maybe it was beef jerky. I do not know. Okay? That's a joke. I'm sure it wasn't beef jerky. It was, who knows, maybe it was a man-concocted substance that was devoid of life because it was so processed. It's probably called a Pop-Tart. Or a fruit roll-up, something like that. Since vitamin A's nickname is the anti-infective vitamin, that's why they call it vitamin A. A is for anti-infective, which means if you've got it, that gives you great protection against succumbing to an infection. Well, that's what you want, that's what I want. The mango may literally be a life-saving fruit in developing countries where there can be severe seasonal shortage of carotenoid-rich foods. Well, scratch that. Well, yeah, I'm all for that. But what about here in America? If it comes to infection, we ain't doing so hot. Just look at the stats. And other studies indicating the mango's protective effects on overall health. Infants in Gambia and India were also found to have the best gut integrity. Oh my goodness, when I read that, everybody wants to say, I have leaky gut syndrome, or I have hyperpermeable gut, you know, I've lost my integrity of my gut. Well, isn't this interesting that infants in Gambia and India were found to have the best gut integrity and the least intestinal disease and diarrhea during a 3-month period when mangoes were in season each country? What are you going to do here? What's your play? Well, maybe you should start eating something that has nutrients in it. And here's a study from Mexico. In a Mexican study, eating mango was shown to afford protection against Giardia. That is a wicked parasite that will rip you to shreds. Sometimes it's called Montezuma's Revenge or Traveler's Diarrhea. In the people who developed traveler's diarrhea due to Giardia, consuming... I know you're probably not going to believe this, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. All right, you just decide for yourself if it's true. You're smart. In people who developed traveler's diarrhea due to Giardia, which is a protozoal parasite, consuming mango was found to eliminate the Giardia just as well as tenazidazole, which is a drug commonly used to treat Giardia. Okay, maybe it's tenazidazole. Okay, I butcher drug names all the time. There you go. You tell me, this study from Mexico, it showed that if you ate mangoes, the results were just as good as if you took an anti-parasite drug. Ha ha ha. What do you think about that? If you want to join me on the radio this morning, I will push the buttons here. Okay, I got that button pushed. Got that button pushed. I'm ready to go now. If I don't have the button pushed, then I better find a way to push the button. So the number here at the station is 903-586-5257. So if you have a question and you want to ask me a question, especially as it relates to how do we get the body in better working order by natural means, then I'm your man. Good. Oh, rats. Try again. I think one had not gone off before the other one came on, and that just, there's a conflict. Let's try. Okay. There is a person that's currently engaged with this phone number, 903-586-5257. In order for me to take another call, you have to actually hang up. If you hang up, then somebody else can call, or you can call back. All you got to do is just disengage, hang up, and start over. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. You know what I'm curious about? If a person lives in a part of the world where there's so much smog and there's so much pollution and everything is just dirty, and because of the living conditions, maybe the sun just can't cut through the clouds of smog and get to the people below that are living on the earth. Well, without the natural light, the chlorophyll and the carotenoids and the astaxanthin and the compounds, they don't work. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, I am calling. Several weeks ago, I heard a Sunday program where you were talking about a regimen to fight cancer cells, stem cancer cells. And I have several friends that this would be apropos, and I'm wondering if you can either give me the date to look up online for that program or tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, unfortunately, I do not know when that one program was recorded off the top of my head, so I'm kind of lost there. But I think if you called John Paul Little up here at the station, he could probably look at the cataloging, because I put a title to each program. And for all I know, today I'm going to talk about mangoes or cherries or something like that, because that's what I've been talking about. So I almost always put a title to the program. I just don't remember that one, and for all I know, that could be 2 years old. I just don't remember that far back.
Okay. The Sunday program I listened to was probably about a month ago, but I don't think Sunday doesn't follow Saturday's program, does it?
I don't know the answer to that either. I don't think it does. It may be delayed by a week or two or three, just depending on whichever one he loads up for Sunday, because I'm live here right now, but Sunday I am not.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. Well, off the top of your head, I know that that regimen involved vitamin C intravenously, I guess. Do you remember what the other part of that regimen was?
Yeah, let me just kind of give you just a brief overview, and I think I know where you're coming from here. And so if I don't put these in order, just, you know, cut me some slack. Number one of the things you're trying to do is you're trying to tap into these natural pluripotential stem cells, because the stem cells, they have a unique ability to making all the components you need for life.
Uh-huh.
And that's really what I want for these people or these friends of yours that have cancer. I want them to do more to promote life than I do to these aberrant renegade cells that are taking over. But suffice it to say, if somebody has cancer, I mean, doesn't it make sense that obviously the conditions are right for tissues to break down and go haywire? So we've got to try to change that. And one of the ways of changing that is by trying to help tap into your natural God-given stem cells. And so it's been shown that dipping your body in cold water stimulates these pluripotential stem cells. Now, I already know the answer to this because I have people tell me all day long. They usually say the H word when I mention cold water. You know what the H word is? Hate. They hate the idea of the cold water. The other thing, but if you take a cold shower or cold bath, I can assure you, you are for free tapping into the potential of your immune system to rise to the occasion and do its job much better. But it's uncomfortable and people hate it. So, but the other thing that can be done is the use of an infrared sauna. It's a phenomenal technique for improving how the immune system is able to rise to the occasion and more aggressively and efficiently go after cells that are not good cells for the body. See, that's what you want ultimately. You want your immune system to recognize friend from foe. A healthy skin cell, your immune system leaves that alone. A skin cell that's rapidly dividing and eating your muscle and sending roots down to the bone, it needs to recognize that as the enemy and go up to it and eat it for breakfast. And so a cup of blueberries a day has been shown to greatly invigorate the stem cells for stem cell therapy. Mm-hmm. Vitamin C. I know I probably sound slightly crazy by saying this, but the only way that the British Navy could conquer the oceans is if they had limes or lemons. That's the only way. You can only sail the seas as long as the sailors are healthy. But once their bodies break down, then everyone's discouraged. I mean, could you imagine at your house, if everyone had been sick in bed with an upper respiratory tract infection for 6 weeks, wouldn't you know, maybe the all the soldiers in your home get a little bit discouraged and start complaining, and they might like rebel against the plan and say, we're going to have to do something different?
Of course.
So lemons and limes. You've got to have nutrients, and that's where vitamin C comes in. So one of the aspects of doing this, most people do not have access to what's called intravenous or IV vitamin C therapy. If you do have that and you want that, you can do it. But most people don't have, well, you know, today there's a whole bunch of people in the world that do not have the amount of money it takes to have that done. So that's off the tables. But what they do have is they have natural vitamin C that's found in nature. And so there are some companies that do produce a whole food form of vitamin C in a tablet or a capsule form. And usually on the label, it'll tell you where it comes from. It'll say the vitamin C is extracted from oranges and lemons and limes and guava and acerola cherries and camu camu. That wasn't camel camel. That was camu camu. I think it's C-A-M-U. So if you can get your vitamin C from a natural source, I think that's your best bet. If you can't get that, then maybe we can go with synthetic. So you're trying to create an environment where it's very easy for your body to rise to the occasion. Now, I'm not in charge of oncology at UT or ETMC or whatever the name is, or Christus, but I would think in terms of what can we do to support the immune system so it can do its job more efficiently. And so probably the greatest benefits to the new research are going to be in the under the guise of immunotherapy. All that means is what compounds are found in nature that help the immune system do its job. And so, for example, there's one mushroom that when you see it growing on the side of an oak tree where the tree's been cut down and they've hauled off the wood to keep a house warm during the wintertime, you might find this fan-like mushroom that grows that's given the name called turkey tail because it looks like the tail of a turkey. You talk about a way to help gently and effectively upregulate the immune system where it can actually do its job better. I'm telling you, that's the way to go. So those are some ideas right there. Cold water, infrared. If I ask you a question, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, what would you need to eat if you want cancer to grow like a wildfire? What do you eat to throw gas on the fire?
All kinds of junk food.
That's right. So if you eat refined sugar and lots of it, it's like throwing gas on a fire. You can't put the cancer out. And for some reason, I was talking to a man back in March. He looked at me and he was completely perplexed on how he could not eat all this sugar and overcome the cancer. You can't both feed it unlimited amounts of fuel and kill it at the same time. I just don't think that's possible. Do you know what the number one predictor is for an individual that has an infection that won't go away? It's the consumption of sugar. It is not the only factor, obviously. But if you're sick and you can't get well and you're loading up the sugar because it tastes good, well, all you're doing is feeding the infection. So I'm just saying, why are we trying to kill it, yet we're feeding it everything it needs to survive and reproduce at the same time? Does that make sense?
Well, that's good. I have a friend that has lymphatic cancerous, well, at any rate, and that she has been cutting down on her sugar and her numbers are going down. So
do you mean going down or improving?
Improving.
Both of those are the same thing. If the numbers go down from the blood cancer and they're lower, that means you're coming back down to normal, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you shared that. Tell her I said way to go. That's great.
Okay, I will give her some affirmation.
But if you call John Paul up here, he will be able to find that date for you. Or you can go onto the website, kbjs.org, and I think all those podcasts are probably going to be labeled. And if you see one that says stem cells and cancer, click on that one. I just don't know what the date is. But I think you've got it narrowed down to like this one-month window, so way to go.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. If you would like to join me on the radio and you have a question or you'd like to make a comment, feel free to do so. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. I want you to call and ask me something about natural health. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I need to ask you about gout.
Oh, I love this topic. Okay. I don't mean I love it because the person has it and they're hurting. That's not what I mean.
Well, I know.
Are you just going to turn me loose and let me go with this?
Yes.
Okay.
I need to know what to do.
Study after study shows that if you eat cherries every day, that's going to put you in a much better place.
Okay.
You need to turn your radio down.
Okay,
so if you eat cherries, they could be tart cherries, they could be Bing cherries, but even the study that I read this morning before I came on the air, it shows that women that eat 8 ounces of cherries a day, they actually have the least amount. Here's a study right here. Results from a study in healthy women who ate a bowl of Bing cherries for breakfast indicated that the cherry intake lowered blood levels of uric acid. Anyway, I could keep going on that. But cherries, they enable your kidneys to help get rid of uric acid. Now, uric acid, the foods that have the most uric acid that leads to gout, there's two of them. Actually, I'm going to put three, but that's going to be subcategory A. The first food is just regular orange pico tea or black tea. So you're driving down the interstate, you're thirsty, you don't want to drink a soft drink, so you order a tea. That's orange pico tea or black tea. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So tea has the highest concentration of uric acid. So if you've got gout, what do? You don't drink tea.
Okay.
If it's herbal tea like rose hips or dandelion or lemon balm or something like that, you're good to go. If you squeeze the juice of a lemon, preferably organic, into your herbal tea or your water, that helps gently dissolve and break down the uric acid crystals, and it scrubs the kidneys clean. The kidneys are your gatekeeper, so when the kidneys are clogged up with uric acid, that's where gout's going to hit you. So we need to improve the kidneys.
Okay.
And so the hardest thing on the kidneys of all time is going to be consuming lots of refined sugar. Now, I know I backed myself into a corner a while ago because I read the study about the people that ate mangoes. They had the greatest protection of all time from gallbladder cancer and from gallstones. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pose to you that even though mangoes are sweet and they're delicious, there is a difference between the sugar that's found in an apple and a mango and a cherry and a blueberry and a strawberry than the type of sugar that's found in a donut or in a Dr. Pepper or, you know, a bowl of ice cream.
Uh-huh.
So, but would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, so natural sugar doesn't seem to present the same problem that, you know, sugar that's highly refined by man does. And so one of the keys is we got to get the kidneys in good working order. Now, I'm a give you a formula here. This is just an overall cleansing formula for the entire body, but I think it would be very purposeful. If you had a juicer, if you don't have a juicer, I looked on eBay the other day, and there are literally hundreds of individuals trying to sell their juicers that have been slightly used, or if you want to call them pre-owned, that's fine by me, but I've seen some high-end, high-dollar juicers like a Champion juicer for like $40. That may not sound impressive, but I'm telling you, that's better than paying $350.
Oh, yeah.
And it wouldn't bother me at all if it was slightly used.
Mm-hmm.
I just might have to scrub that sucker clean before I try to use it. I don't want anybody else's cooties or germs, do you?
No, I don't.
But if you had a juicer and you ran one green apple and two or three ribs of celery and maybe two carrots, one lemon, you just remove the rind, leave as much of that white pith as possible. And then if you put somewhere between a fourth to maybe one half of a fresh ginger root and ran that through, that is going to be one potent form of juice to drain toxins from your kidneys and from your body. That'll scrub your joints clean.
Okay, that's one lemon, two stalks of celery, and a ginger root, and what else?
Green apple and two carrots. Now, what I really think you should do is if you took that green apple, two carrots, two or three ribs of celery, the lemon and the ginger, I think you should do that about 5 minutes before you leave for church services tomorrow. And then I want you to sit up on the very, very front row, and I need you to take really good notes. Just joking. No, and that's probably the number one issue is ginger is like the greatest drainage remedy of all time. So if there's toxic debris, it's going to come out. So I'm not trying to mess with you, but if you had to go to the bathroom, it's much better that toxins come out of you than stay inside of you, right?
Yes, and I'm having kidney problems. And
then this is for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is custom designed by God for you to heal you.
Well, that's what I'm interested in.
Mm, you're a good girl.
The medicine was about $500 that they wanted to give me from the doctor's office.
Well, I know, but you're a multi-bazillionaire, so money is no object with you.
I
would rather you invest in these things I'm telling you. So if you have gout, the kidneys are the gatekeeper. So when the kidneys become tired and sluggish and they're chock full of gunk, well, you're not going to be able to stop gout from happening because you can't scrub that uric acid crystal out of the body. So don't eat pork. Don't eat refined sugar because that increases uric acid. And don't drink tea. Herbal tea, you're good to go as much as you want.
Okay.
Lemon juice, cherries, they're going to scrub you clean. Hey, what if you started making cherry limeade slushies and you started selling them on the side of the road? I think that could work.
That would be good.
I think that could work.
When cherries are not in season, what do you use? Just the canned cherries?
Yeah, you betcha.
Okay.
You could go into the frozen food section, which usually it's very, very small when it comes to frozen fruit, and you can find bags of cherries. Now, one thing that I read recently I want to share with you, they said that cherries that are grown here in the U.S., and I'm all for eating locally grown produce, they have some of the highest chemical pesticide residue of any plant that's sold in the grocery stores. But they said that when the cherries come from overseas, they almost have no chance of having pesticide residue. And I thought to myself, okay, I think I would eat cherries if they came from Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
What if there's cherries in the turkey? If you could get frozen cherries, that's fine. And for all I know, maybe I could find some frozen concentrate cherry juice where you just add water to it. Welch's grape juice or orange juice that's in concentrate form.
Well, you can find that at the granary or any place like that, concentrated cherry juice.
Which is the closest granary to where you live?
On Front Street in Tyler.
Do you wear dark glasses and a bandana when you go in the store?
No.
Yeah. I see all these people wearing dark glasses and bandana. I'm thinking, is this a holdup?
I know.
No, but yes, and so you're going to aim for that. So whether it's a fresh cherry or a frozen cherry or cherry juice or the concentrate, I'm telling you, it's like they're like eating candy. If you get cherries that have had the pits removed and they're frozen, you put them in a bowl and you let them sort of,
oh, I love cherries.
Melt. That's where you take your chopsticks and you eat them one at a time. They're like eating candy, but they're good for you.
Oh, yeah.
You would think there would be a law against that. Don't tell anybody where they can start taxing cherries. That's ridiculous.
Oh, they would if they could.
Well, don't bring this topic up.
Okay, I will try this then.
Okay, good deal. And you will get a good result.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. I want you to call me, and I want you to give me a really difficult problem to solve. I'm really joking about that. Give me something easy to solve. I like those, too. And you know what? Occasionally, there are very simple remedies that can be applied to a simple situation, and it can turn around, and a person can say, oh, my goodness, the body is a healing machine. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a question this morning about breastfeeding. My daughter had her first child 2 weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations. That's great.
Yes, it is.
Is she just the most beautiful creation of all time?
Is it a boy or girl? A girl.
Oh, they're made of sugar and spice and everything nice.
Yes, she is. She was a big one. She was 9 pounds, 7 ounces. And
is she going for the world record?
Well, she's really sad, disappointed, because she wanted to have her natural, but the doctor said, oh, she's too big. We have to do C-section.
Your daughter's probably teeny tiny, right?
Yeah, she's like 5'2", and she's very short waisted, and it's...
She's not built like a water buffalo, is she?
No.
Okay. She's a gazelle.
So we just decided to, he did give her the choice. He said, I would not suggest it. So she said, okay, you're the doctor.
Well,
so
see, if the baby doesn't come through the birth canal, that's the first contact with the outside world that's highly sterile, or the inside world that's highly sterile, meaning the womb, with the outside world. And so... these kids, they have more issues, because if you don't go through mama's birth canal, that's where all those beneficial bacteria and flora cling to the baby. So plan B is you're going to have to use your imagination, is you're going to have to just slather the baby with mother's kisses and lots of touching on the skin to transfer bacteria.
I know. She knew all that, and she was even like, well, I guess I could never even... have one natural, because of this. But the question is, she's here, and she went to the doctor for her 2-week checkup, and she's not back at birth weight. She was 8'11". This was this past Thursday.
That's not necessarily bad.
Well, I said, because I was with her, a disappointment. And the doctor said, well, I said, but she didn't lose any. He mm-hmm. said, well, that's good. That's a win. But she wants to see her Monday. This is Thursday. She wants her to pump and give it to her in the bottle and know how much she's getting and measure her Monday. And if she has an increase in, what she wants to maybe put her on some supplemental formula.
They make it sound like the baby's an engine that's low on oil and we've got to measure out everything. I would just check her radiator fluid. That's just so cold and mechanical. I don't even like
that. Well, I know.
I can tell you what I want to do is I want to slather up your daughter with just tons of butter on everything.
We got to
give her what she needs to make high quality breast milk. And just always remember this. Breast milk is exactly 54% fat. That's God's design.
I told her that. I'm going to have her listen. That's what exactly
if she doesn't obey my commands and do this, she's in big, big trouble.
Well, I'm telling you, and I know she's deficient in fatty acids. She's the girl.
Well, here, we're going to draw up a game plan for her right now, okay?
Yes, that's what we need.
Okay. I know that what I'm going to say is going to be slightly radical and offend a lot of people, but who cares? We got a beautiful baby and mom to take care of. They can go jump in Lake Palestine right now and take a cold bath. That's good for their immune system. All right. She needs to eat red meat.
Okay. Olivia
She needs to eat wild caught fish.
Okay.
She can eat scallops and shrimp if she wants to, but we're going to get grass-fed butter.
Okay.
That's easy to come by. If you go to the store and you see this golden green and black label called Kerrygold, that'd be one example of grass-fed butter. And when you peel that package open, you think to yourself, is there any butter that could be more yellow than this? And you're going, no, I have never seen that. American cows are anemic. This stuff is amazing. And so you've got to start putting butter on everything so she can extract nutrients. And so if her husband says, I'm going to cook you a ribeye steak exactly the way that you like it, it's going to be a very, very high-quality steak, it's going to be grass-fed steak, but I'm going to put butter all over it. And you're going to have a sweet potato that's full of all the nutrients that you need, and I'm going to steam you some kale, but we're going to put butter all over it.
Yes.
Oh, you want some dessert? We're going to give you a bowl of fresh organic strawberries with heavy organic cream all over the top of them. But unless we give her the nutrients that she needs, I mean, it wasn't a mistake when I read the article earlier this morning about the people eating mangoes. Mangoes have a very impressive amount of nutrition. It's a great nutritional profile, and that baby can only get nutrients based on what mama can take in and what she can convert into breast milk. And so there's an herb called milk thistle.
Oh yeah, I got her. Well, no, I didn't get a milk thistle. I got a mother's milk tea.
Oh, they have that at Walmart right now.
Right.
Now I'm confessing the truth to you. I have never tried that. Is that okay with me not trying that?
she likes it okay, but she doesn't like those cookies she bought that are supposed to help lactating. But.
Well, what is it that she's eating right now? I mean, if you could cook and saute beef tips, and you can. Now, you may have to hold off on the super spicy stuff. I don't think that 40 chili peppers are going to really work with a baby or like tons of onions or garlic. But if we can make the food full of flavor and nutrients, but we've got to have some rich fat in there if we're going to get the breast to get up to speed.
Wow. She's just going to pray, sing my praises. That's what I've been telling her.
She's going to say, Mom, you are a genius. I can't believe I didn't listen to you. Well, now let's just work this from the other angle. What exactly is going to be the genius plan they're going to come up with? Well, I don't even want to hear it because it's just going to be artificial junk. She needs real food. If she's going to have a beautiful, radiant, healthy baby, then that baby's going to need rich probiotics, which means mama can be consuming kefir and kombucha, and she can have all the different good probiotic-rich foods. I mean, they have, if you were to go inside of the refrigerated section of a large health food store next to Lowe's and Tyler called Drug Emporium, you can find stuff called gut shots made of fermented beets. Stuff is phenomenal.
Now, let me ask you this. I bought her a thing of the Carlson's fish oil, and
Is that okay to say?
That's fat. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I would prefer that y'all would go off the coast of Alaska and go fishing this afternoon, but that may not be plausible.
So funny. Oh, goodness. Okay. I think I'm excited to tell her that. Yes,
well, let this be a starting point. And, you know, this ain't rocket science. If we went to a nursing home facility and they said, Dr. Morgan, we're putting you in charge of the menu of all these old people here that are in poor shape and they're feeble, I'd say, okay, here's plan number one. Let's put some grass-fed butter on everything they're eating. Because that study's already been done. You can improve nutrient absorption by a minimum of 15% in a person that's above the age of 75 just by putting butter on it. Butter is not the enemy. I know they will tell you that butter's the enemy, but they are wrong. They've had 50 years to improve the health of the human being with margarine, and guess what? Our health sucks as a nation. And so you got to be your own advocate like you're doing.
Yeah, she was peeling. The baby's feet, ankles were peeling. She was actually 2 weeks early and weighing 9. But
Mama had way too many. Don't tell her I said this right here. But she ate too much grain and too much carbohydrates. She ate way too much grain products and flour.
Probably so. She does not know how to cook.
Well, I'm not trying to judge her, but if I go into the store today and I see a baby in a shopping cart and the head's so big it can barely fit through the door, that's only a formula baby right there. That's only formula. That's not Mama's breast milk. Mama's breast milk produces babies with a normal head, normal shape, and normal size. But if the head is so large it can't fit in the shopping cart, that's the only thing you get with artificial man-made chemicals right there. That's called formula baby.
That's not what we're going to do.
No, we're gonna start pumping massive amounts of milk into the baby's mouth.
Right. And like I said, we were there at the doctor's office, and her little skin was peeling. And my daughter said, look, doctor, her skin's peeling around her ankles and elbows. And
yeah, that's what happens when you don't get that rich coating of bacteria on the baby. The skin peels
right.
off.
Right, and you know what she said? She goes, you need to just slather her up with lotion.
No,
daughter,
no. We can slather her up with olive oil and butter, but what Mama can do is she can slather her with her own bacteria. I'll let you use your imagination on that one.
That's what I told my daughter. I said, don't listen to that. You need to, it's what you're not eating that you need to give her to heal
I'm pretty sure a brand new baby that has perfect skin doesn't need a chemical lotion to soak up. Just ridiculous.
That's right.
Now, one last point. When that baby was inside your daughter's womb, there's this fluid called amniotic fluid. I have a point. It may not make sense, but that fluid is what bathes the baby's skin. It keeps the skin perfect. Beautiful, the healthiest skin of all time is when the baby has amniotic fluid. Now, amniotic fluid is exactly 95% What is amniotic fluid made of?
Water? I don't know.
No. It's pure urine.
What?
The baby is drinking, bathing, the lungs, every square inch of the eyes, the hair, the skin is coated in urine.
I've never heard that.
Well, look it up and see if you can come to terms with this new information. Anyway, we're completely out of time, so let me let you go. Call me next week, all right?
All right.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.